I happened to be listening to the History Channel, I believe it was. No, National Geographic. And I'm just listening to some Eskimos sharing some of the things that they go through in their hunting for whales. And they had a particular man that's 86 years old. And have anybody seen it? Okay. He is a great-grandfather, of course, and he's still leading his family to find whales every year in order to survive, and it blesses the whole family. He has 17 children and 100-and-something grandchildren, and of course I got a little jealous. But here was the awesome part. His father taught him English, and his mother taught him the native tongue. His father was a New England whaler. And today he has taught all of his sons and grandsons and nephews and nieces how to survive in the midst of that area. And it's way up north. And they still make boats out of seal skin. The ladies put the boats together themselves, and the men found that they're so lightweight that that's the only product that they can use that a whale will not detect, because I never knew whales had such a nose. They have an ability to smell anything that's foreign, and they will run. Okay? Well, they caught a whale, because they're only allowed so many for the entire region. And obviously they had a celebration. But the first part was so exciting that I backed it up and I wanted to listen to it a second time. One of the sons, the older sons, that was part of the expedition to catch this whale, began to glorify God and began to praise the Heavenly Father for the whale and thanked for the food that God had supplied. And of course my brain is like saying, whoa, you know, this is unheard of on National Geographic. And then, if you want the highlight of it all, he finishes his prayer by praising God, thanking the Lord for every mother who's going to be able to feed her children, and every father who will have sustenance, and he does this all in Jesus' name. And I almost fell off my chair. I backed it up. My wife comes in the room. I says, sweetheart, sit down. She sat down and she listened to it with me. And she says, this is absolutely awesome. And then, of course, later on during the rest of the program, they speak about that 100 years ago, one person went in that region and showed them how to love Jesus Christ. And they now are worshipers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole village. So at the tippity top, awesome results. Plus, they pray for the abundance. And then, here was another clincher. One of the experts said, 150 years ago, there were so little whales that they used that they thought they were almost extinct. Now they have such an abundance that the Lord has really resupplied the oceans with an abundance of whales in that area. And I thought, wow, what a marvelous, marvelous gift. And God is being, you know, recognized at the North Pole. That's cool. Amen? And that's a community of prayer. Right at the tippity top of the North. I was excited. So now, how about if we bow our heads? Lord Jesus, let us understand the fullness of the impact of those who take time to worship you and give you praise, because they know where their sustenance is from. And likewise, we want to thank you for all you've done for us. Amen? So I want to take you to Mark chapter 4. And I had received this the other day, but because of the storm, the Lord said it's going to be for today, because I didn't expect to watch National Geographic and get a little more on boats. But verse 35 says, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, he took him along just as he was in the boat." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along. Why is that important? Because sometimes he went off by himself. But this time, he got in the boat with them. There were also other boats with him. I think it's important to recognize that these were all boats, probably of the similar that I happened to see, you know, when we were in Israel. We went to visit one particular boat that they had pulled out of the mud, and they expected it to be from that time period. And wasn't much of a boat from the standard that we watch on television with, you know, all these major boats. These were boats that were crudely made with crude instruments, but they did the job. And a furious, verse 37, squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now, our tour guide, when we were on that same Sea of Galilee, which, by the way, is a big lake, explained to us that there were mountains in three sides of that particular lake. And he said, the whole bottom of the lake is just one big tub. There are no obstructions of any kind underneath the water. It's just like a bathtub, if you wish. Okay? So as soon as the wind, and it switches, because of the way the mountains are located, the wind can come up in a matter of seconds. And the next thing you know, because there's nothing underneath the water, like no mountains and no obstructions, no rocks, it's just a big tub. Well, what happens is immediately the water goes from one side to the other, so you can have an incredible storm in a matter of seconds. And that was part of Izzy's testimony to us. And I thought that was kind of neat. Because then we kind of prayed a short little prayer inside, Lord, let it not be today. You know, because we were on the boat. But I want you to know that Jesus was with them in the boat. Now, how many of us have a concept that sometimes Jesus is way out there and we'd like him to be with us in the mess? I'd like to change that attitude today by letting you put your hand right here on your tummy. Because you see, you've got to remember, and I've got to remember, that the Holy Ghost came down inside of whom? Inside of them? And inside of? Yeah. Is it a different Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost concerning to rejuvenate their spirit that's come inside of me and inside of you? No, it's the same Holy Spirit. It's just 2,000 years in division, but it's not a different spirit that's ruling inside of us. And once we get that knowing that he's inside of my boat, it's going to change how you respond to certain difficulties. Instead of having to cry out to him, where are you, God? He's probably going to say, I'm right down here. I'm right inside. I'm not somewhere else. And so I think it's important to realize that I have the same Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus when he was 30 inside of me. The same Holy Spirit, not a different spirit, the same Holy Spirit inside of me. Do I get an amen? A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now, that would create a little bit of an emergency situation, correct? Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. How come he's snoozing? Huh? Doesn't bother him. Is he worried? Why? I believe he's got a thought when he laid down his head on that pillow. The guys can handle this. Yeah. I mean, did anybody forget Peter's a fisherman? He's been fishing for years. James, John, Andrew. I mean, if you've got a bunch of experts in the boat, is it time for a nap? Well, come on, think about it. You've got a bunch of experts in the boat, it's time to rest. I mean, he's been preaching all day. I mean, we could back it up in chapter 4 and learn that he's been busy. Okay? So he's tired. And he trusts these guys, and there's other boats around, right? Other boats. Okay? So there's help available. I'm going to rest. It's R&R time. What do? They panic. And you know what? I love this because it shows me how I normally panic. Now, that never happens to you guys, but it happens to me. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, and the disciples woke him and said to him, this is the part that's important, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Are they human? Am I human? Do I cry out? Well, does he really care if we go down with the ship? Financially, emotionally, whatever. Right or wrong? I mean, does he care that I just had an argument with this friend of mine and they are now busting me to pieces? Does he care? Yes, he does. But the point is, the emotions are saying what? He's sleeping. Time to wake him up. I mean, do you have to ring a little bell over here next to your tummy now to wake up the Holy Ghost? No. I thought I'd make you laugh a little bit, but then recognize. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. I mean, talk about sweet. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Verse 40 is probably the most important. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Do you still have no faith? That's an incredible statement. Why are you afraid? In other words, he's been teaching them not to be afraid. Because after all, Heavenly Father gave them all authority, correct? Now, if you've got all authority in the heavens and in the earth, and you don't use it, what does that make you? What did you say? Faithless, yes. Dumb. Well, kind of true, right? I mean, here you've got all this ability, and you don't use it. It's like saying, I got a toaster, I want toast tomorrow morning, and I refuse to plug in the toaster. Right? Yeah, duh, right. Well, see, that's what Jesus is saying to them. Wake up, guys. You know, where's your faith? I gave you authority. You refuse to use it. Your natural talents are left over because you've been training on this fishing expedition for years, and you still don't know that I'm with you in the boat, even if I am asleep. How many have ever fought the idea that Jesus had taken off and come
gone someplace else.
Thank you. Yeah. Like, where is he? He doesn't care about me. Yes, he does. He cares about you very, very much. But why did he step out or leave so that you don't feel every detail of his presence? Because he's expecting you to use the authority he's given you. He's expecting you to bind whatever needs to be bound and to loose whatever needs to be loosed. And to be quiet in the areas that need to be what? Quiet. And for that which needs to be still, will be still. Now, there was a couple that was in trouble a few months back. And there was an awful lot of pressure applied to them. And the pressure was so intense that they ended up calling, and I went over to help. And I got angry at a couple of people who had influence over them. And I reminded them that they were tearing this couple apart by the bad advice that they kept giving. And I told them to grow up and stop trying to bring division between two people that did not want to separate. And stop putting signs in their hearts about divorcing each other, because that wasn't God. And I got angry. And I said, and I'm all done listening to this, because you two are mature enough for you to begin to give counsel to the younger couple. Counsel that will build them up, not divide them. Counsel that will help them on their way and not separate them. And do you know? It worked. It worked. They needed it. But it wasn't the kids' fault. It was the adults' fault. The adults were, oh, my God, just get rid of him. He's not perfect. Well, so, guess what? The other one ain't perfect either. Amen? Yes, they form other problems. The question was, why are they afraid? Yeah? Why are they afraid? Could be both. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Victim. How many have ever had the victim mentality?
Everybody's picking on me.
I had it. I had to get over it. But I did have it. I'm not where I used to be. Am I where Christ Jesus is? No. I don't make believe that. But I know who's living inside of me. It's the same Holy Ghost. Okay? And He is with me. But that doesn't mean that I respond in my emotions every single time with perfection. That would be a deception. Okay. Verse 41. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Mark chapter 16. All authority I give to you. All authority. Not some. All authority. Now, you say, well, there's a storm. There's a northeaster heading up. There's a tornado heading our way. Well, are you a believer? How are you going to pray? I can remember Pat Robertson, when he was told by the Lord that some of his ancestors had actually been in the Virginia colony, that he was to start a ministry in that particular place, that that's where God ordained for him to be. Several years later, an incredible hurricane was heading right into Virginia Beach. And guess where Pat Robertson and his team went? They stood right on the beach. And they began to pray. And they didn't stop. They interceded. They prayed. And they stood their ground. And guess where the storm went? Yeah. Has God changed his mind about your neighborhood? Has he changed his mind about your family? Has he changed his mind about your school or business? He's still the same God, isn't he? Well, it's time to stand our ground. It's time for us to say, okay, God, what's your strategy for Chicopee? What's your strategy for New England? What's your strategy for the place where you've placed me? Or do I put my tail between my legs and run the other way? It's up to me. My prayer is that you awaken. Not that you wake him up, that you awaken. Who am I that I should speak to the wind? Who am I that I should speak to a storm that's going on around me? Who am I to confront the forces of jealousy and backbiting that are trying to destroy the believer? Who am I to intercede for those that have abused me and accused me? Who am I? I'm of the same spirit that Jesus Christ is of. I am of the same family of the kingdom of God. I've been washed in the same blood that cleansed Peter, James, and John. And even the Blessed Mother. Would you close your eyes, please, and put your hand over your heart? Say, Father, create a new attitude in my heart about who I am in Christ Jesus. And instead of being on the boat complaining, I'm going to realize that I can stand up and I can declare to the storm, be quiet, be still, in Jesus' name. And it will be so. Do we need to wake him up? No. Why, Gail? We need to be awakened. Yes. I need to be awake every step of the way. Every morning when I get out of bed, I should be saying, thank you, Jesus, for a brand new day. Thank you that it's going to be a wonderful day. Thank you for those that you're going to put in my path that I can intercede for them so that they can come up out of their dilemma. Amen? Thank you that you gave me a place where I can intercede for those who can't stand me. Why couldn't they handle this believer? This wonderful Savior. Why couldn't they handle him? I mean, when you think about it, the whole town wanted him, what? Thrown over the cliff. What a marvelous Savior you serve. I mean, you think of it. You know, and I never realized how big that cliff was until we went to Nazareth. That cliff is intense. It's like coming off a mountain. And they wanted to throw him over. Yet they were brought up with him. And they could not stand him. And that included some of his relatives. How many have ever had a few relatives couldn't stand you? Welcome to the club. Okay? But think of what I'm trying to make you aware of. See, the Holy Spirit has begun a work in you that He's going to work with and in and through you to change your neighborhood, to change your atmosphere about yourself first, and realize that he's in the boat. And when it's time for him to take a nap, leave him alone. Do your stuff. And believe me, if you're not doing it well, he'll kind of knock you on the side of the shoulder and tap you a little bit and let you know, come on, adjust. You'll be okay. Father, I pray for these that have heard this message and that you will just give them an understanding of how awesome they are compared to those that live in Nazareth. Because, Lord, you have a desire for them to be blessed in the morning, in the noon hour, and in the evening, and restored to everything that you've ever promised to give them, in Jesus' name. Go in peace. Share some hugs.